The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
For over 30 years, BHM has been the trusted CPA firm for closely held businesses across Ohio and West Virginia.
BHM has made life easier for myself and our company when it comes to tax and accounting.
At BHM, we develop top talent to tackle your most complex challenges.
A CPA firm can be the lifeblood to a successful business. If you don't feel that way about your firm, ask yourself why not.
Visit bhmcpagroup.com to schedule a consultation. BHM, the CPA firm simplifying the complex.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Here, care has no limits. It's compassionate, personal, powerful, and provided to anyone and everyone who needs it. Here at Mount Carmel, care honors everything that makes us who we are, so that you can take the first step to a healthier, happier life. Here, exceptional care is provided by all of us for all of you. Learn more at mountcarmelforyou.com.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Indeed it is. And here to help us wrap up a chapter I think a lot of us are happy is over, no matter what side you are on this. Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. Welcome back.
It's been a few weeks. It's been a minute, man. Yes. Weddings and trials.
Oh my goodness.
So it's good to be back. I've been missing you, man.
Yeah, me too. So it's wrapped up. We have the verdict, obviously. People know about it. The only thing that she was charged on was the drunk driving, the OWI, the DUI, whatever it's called in that state. That's what she got. Everything else found not guilty on. It was a shock to some. It was a shock, not a shock to others. I think everybody was kind of waiting with bated breaths on this, of how this would go. And you could hear when the verdict was read, it reminded me of OJ, because you could audibly hear the roar from the people outside of the courthouse. So while during the trial, there wasn't a huge show, but at the very end, there certainly was a large showing of support for Karen Reed. On this channel, obviously, we've talked a lot about, kind of feeling the direction that she was responsible for the death of John O'Keefe. And we've explored both sides, really, for the last 2 years or however long this has gone. But as we got closer and closer to the verdict, what the heck was going to happen? Walk me through your thoughts on how this all went down, how we got to this verdict, what landed, what didn't land, why it didn't land, from both sides on all these issues. There's a lot to walk through.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the way I looked at it, and we had talked about this all the way back after trial one, it was always my position as a defense attorney, just kind of armchair quarterbacking it, that I would have focused on the science side of it much more than the conspiracy side of it in terms of trying to win the case. Mm-hmm. And I feel that I was heard because, frankly, the defense tried the case exactly how I would have tried the case in terms of they were able to bolster up their science because they were able to actually hire ARCA, despite what Brennan was trying to cast as, that they were biased the first time around. And I had just rejected that argument. It was Brennan doing his job as the special prosecutor trying to throw shade on two guys that had been hired by the feds, man. I mean, in the report, in the first trial had been prepared before any side knew that they existed at all. So, I mean, for me, that always carried a huge amount of weight. I frankly didn't give a shit about anything that happened after that because they were stuck having to only use the report that they generated before either side knew that they were involved. Mm-hmm. So whether or not they had to pay for fees and all the other shit, I don't care. It didn't change anything. It didn't change the report because that was the only thing that they were allowed to use in the first trial. Going to the second trial, they are then able, the defense is able to, like we always are in every other case in the world, you're able to just hire your experts and they're allowed to do extra testing. And I thought mm-hmm. that the extra testing really bolstered the fact that, in my estimation, and you and I have had a disagreement on this, but yeah. I just felt that the science indicated that John O'Keefe was not struck by that motor vehicle. I don't care what Karen's saying in the wee morning hours when she's discovered her boyfriend's dead and is going through trauma, unlike, you know, something that you and I have probably ever gone through. You know, you're trying to figure shit out. You're speaking out loud about everything that's going in your mind. I mean, it's like, it's honest moments. They're not confessions. It's just that simple. So for me, you know, when Brennan decided to kind of make that the focal point of his case, which he did, because it sure wasn't science, you know, I'm like, all right, well, either this is going to resonate with some jurors. I mean, it resonated with you. I mean, yeah. Like when we had our conversations, I mean, those clips had a huge impact on
completely.
You personally.
Yeah.
If I look at like where we were in our discussions from trial one to trial two, mm-hmm. really the biggest difference out of the evidence that was presented were those clips, and those were yeah. compelling to you.
The clips changed me on it. I think of all yeah. everything, it was her own words that made me really go, oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still feel that way, but it was that, but I mean, it's interesting because every different piece of this speaks to different people in different ways, if at all. Yeah. And that's how it's so hard to predict what's going to happen with a jury, because one may see that and go, oh my gosh, and have a big impact, or look at it the same way, or look at it in a very different way, based on everyone's own experiences. But for me, like, holy
100%.
Shit. 100%.
It's like, you can even move that to like the ARCA and their new testing, wherein they had the dummy standing up there and Rescue Randy has his arm out. And at the 24 mile an hour, there's damage to the taillight. And mm-hmm. and the folks that were of the mindset that Karen had done it were like, see, the damage damage can happen that way. So were using that ARCA thing as like, all right, the problem for the way that I see it, the biggest piece of evidence to me was the fact that the diffuser, because Hank just didn't seem to understand the fact that this is an LED. Mm-hmm. There is no bulb in there. All right. LEDs yeah. are different. And what makes the taillight illuminate is that diffuser piece, which is, and that's what Wolf, the first guy that they had from ARCA testifying about, was like an inch, more than an inch in from the outer plastic taillight cover that we're all talking about, the red pieces. Mm-hmm. That interior piece that has the clear plastic piece that had the little dots on it, that's a part of the diffuser. Now, I had seen just a straight up YouTube creator do what I had been asking somebody to do forever. I'm like, can somebody just get a taillight and try to damage it and even see if it illuminates at all anymore? Mm-hmm. That guy did it. Obviously, that wasn't something that you'd use in evidence.
Sure.
He was just some content creator, but he went and got a taillight from her model and make of Lexus SUV. And he did exactly that. And then what became abundantly clear from that is if the diffuser's cracked, the taillight doesn't illuminate at all. It's not a question of white or red. Mm-hmm. It's dark. It doesn't illuminate. The LED doesn't illuminate. So when Hank's sitting there saying, see, it's white, or see, it's red, if the taillight had been destroyed the way that they said that it had, in front of 34 Fairview, mm-hmm. meaning that diffuser piece was in the yard where they found it at the time that they're claiming that the accident took place, the taillight's not illuminating at all. That was such a huge, huge piece of evidence, and the defense thankfully got it in, because to me that begins and ends the conversation in terms of the damage to the Lexus. The mm-hmm. other part of it that I've always felt, and I just never felt that the injuries to John O'Keefe in any way, shape, or form were indicative that he'd been struck by the vehicle. And when you see the dummy standing there at 24 miles an hour, and I don't care what the dummy's doing, spinning around, pirouetting, the arm would have been jello. The arm would have been pudding. Like, they're just like, there's no way on a glancing blow, whatever Hank wanted to call it, that if the arm's out in the position that his expert Welcher had proposed that it was, his arm is destroyed at 24 miles an hour.
Welcher did show other accident scenes where one would assume the same thing would have happened, and that, oh my, you would look at it and go, how did this person not have these broken bones? And there was other examples of it happening. So, I mean, it can happen. The odds are probably not in the favor of that happening quite often, but it does happen sometimes.
I mean, Tony, sometimes like people survive jumping in out of an airplane when their parachute wasn't open. I mean, are you going to give it a shot?
It's not about that. It's just saying it is possible. There are other cases where, yes, you may look at it this way, but the way that I thought Welcher approached the physics of it, I thought he explained it pretty well. I know everybody wants to get caught up in the blue
man group
thing.
Stuff. Yeah.
But at the same point, it did. I thought it was stupid. He wore John O'Keefe's shirt. Like, that's like, what the fuck are you doing? But in terms of the stature and showing how this could have happened, I thought it was simple, but it was kind of effective, just showing, see, this is how the body matches up next to the car. That's something I'm surprised it took all these years for someone to actually do, because that seemed like a kind of obvious one to take a look at. So I thought that was compelling.
I mean, the problem for Welcher is he did it at 2 miles an hour and he had to lean into it to get that upper portion of the arm touched. Man. I mean,
it was
broke the video down frame by frame. It's like, it was slow. He rolled his shoulder into it. It's like, that's just
the thing is with the whole thing where the body is placed, where the vehicle is, we're never going to know. I mean, it's, and there could be at certain angles where, yes, it just shows that he could have survived it without the broken bones. It happens. It's, again, probably the odds of that being there, not great, but it does happen. And there's other cases to show it too. I thought he brought some receipts with him showing, see, this is how it also happens with other evidence.
See, but he didn't bring any actual science though. Like you're saying he did, but he didn't. He didn't get any physics at all. Like there was zero physics in his entire presentation. I mean, the blue, like he's taken so much shit about the blue man thing, because that was really the only science that he showed in terms of trying to recreate, which unbelievably Hank stepped away from. He's like, oh, you know, my own expert wasn't trying to recreate. He wasn't trying to say that's what happened. I mean, the problem from the prosecution side in this case is that they have no clue what happened. And that in and of itself is reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, I happen to think factually Karen Reed is innocent. I don't think that I don't give a shit. Like I said, I don't care what she said in the morning hours when she's like out of her mind. Mm-hmm. With grief and all kinds of other shit. I mean, like people sitting here pretending like they know what they'd be doing in that situation, I reject completely. And that includes you and I, because I've never, fortunately, knock on wood, I've never been in that situation.
Yeah,
and I don't know what, and if I thought that I had some kind of hand in it or that it was possible, I'd be saying all those exact same things. It would, like, all of that shit would be running through your mind. I mean, she clearly knew that she had dropped John off. You know, and it's like this concept where they're using these clips, which are taken out of context, where, you know, and people like to point, oh, well, Yannetti at the first appearance said this. I'm like, Yannetti didn't have the fucking discovery at the first appearance. Mm-hmm. He had no idea. It's not until you get the discovery back in a case that you start to understand as an attorney what may or may not have happened. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just going in on first appearance. Nobody has any discovery as an attorney on a first appearance in this kind of case. It's just not how it works.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, but like, I'm a lawyer. I understand that shit. The general public doesn't, you know, so they take things and they run with things that they just don't have an understanding of the reality of that situation. So, I mean, it's like, look, at the end of the day, if anybody wants to point fingers at anybody, they need to point them at fucking Canton PD and the MSP, because had they done a fucking decent investigation, just decent, had they done any, like, all of these questions are not being asked.
No,
if the people inside of that house don't want to be scrutinized, then you know what? Fucking Albert should have got his ass out of bed and come downstairs and said, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, those are things
and answered some goddamn questions. It's like they made that a position where they're going to get looked at because it's fucking suspicious, man. It's like you can't sit here and say, oh, well, Karen said this, this, and this. That's suspicious. And then pretend like the way that they act.
I've always said that it was suspicious and weird.
Suspicious as shit.
No, I've always said that it was suspicious and weird.
Right. However they decided to handle that brought on all the speculation that they were somehow.
That one of the biggest things that we've heard from juries that from the jurors that have spoken out so far is there was just too many holes in the investigation. Had they just done, like you said, a decent investigation, I don't think any of this would have ever occurred.
I mean, who knows? Like, who knows?
I mean,
it's either she's not getting arrested or she's getting arrested and convicted because they went into the house on a consent search. They looked around. Yeah. Chloe's sitting in her dog bed, like, you know, gnawing on a bone that she, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they're going in, they're seeing, they're getting some answers of what may or may not have gone on in that house. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do that. They chose not to do it. And, you know, then you're left with this situation where you've got these non-existent injuries that just don't line up with somebody being hit by a 6,000-pound vehicle. Because forget broken bones. Like, give me a bruise. Like, like no one's walking away with their arm getting crushed at 24 miles an hour, smashing a taillight, and you don't walk away with the bruise.
With what I interpreted from what was presented, I saw where there was a possibility for that to happen. That was just my interpretation of it.
I didn't see it that way.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, we see it differently. I want to ask you this though, where we have the vehicle, the 3-point turn and the phone stopping working. I don't give a shit about the 3 seconds or however much the clock was moved around, because we're talking like around a 30-second window of time here. So close enough, quite honestly. There's nothing else that's happening in that 30 seconds. How did you take that one? Because that to me is what really sealed it. It was like, okay, there's no doubt here. She struck him. This is how this lines up. I don't see anything else, any other way how this could have happened in that way that it was presented. And
my biggest problem with the timeline is the fact that she's back at John's house, connected the Wi-Fi by 2:36 in the morning, man. It's like, I don't think you could.
Okay.
Vinny Paolo, like, I was on Vinny's show and then like him and his producer made the drive in the middle of late spring, beautiful weather. You know, like, I don't know if they went, it like seemed like they waited until after rush hour. I asked him, like, how many stoplights are there? He's like, 2. I'm like, did you make them or did you catch them? You know, how many stop signs were there on the route that you guys took? Because there's a few different routes. And I think that they took, I don't know if they took the, like, I can't remember if he said that he took the longest or the shortest. Mm-hmm. But when you factor in the fact that she's driving, again, a 6,000-pound vehicle, you come from Wisconsin, dude.
Yeah, I know.
You know when you get that first quarter inch before any salt's down, before any plowing's done, you're not driving your fucking vehicle 40 miles an hour approaching stop signs and stoplights.
You hope you wouldn't be, but
I mean, you
9 cocktails in, you might again, be.
Tony, the rebuttal to that is that everyone saw her driving, said she was driving carefully.
Sure. But
so, I mean, you can't have it both ways, dude. You can't have it like she's like crazily driving when everyone that actually saw her driving at and around 34 Fairview said she was using her signal.
I'm not saying she was crazily driving. I'm just saying, you know, I don't know, you know, how well she's driving 9 cocktails in.
we don't even know if it's 9 cocktails. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that's the other part of this thing. Like, she's calling pissed off as shit at John because he went into the house and he's not answering his phone. And, you know, I mean, who's to say she's not pounding at home? I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's just, the whole case was a mess. And again, you know, people want to yell and scream and point fingers at people, pointed at the people that it deserves to be pointed at, which is the cops. They fucked it up. They fucked up the whole investigation.
I agree.
And it was either done out of just complete and total incompetence, or it was something more nefarious than that, which it is. I don't know.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, that's the thing. We're left here again. Then what happened to John O'Keefe? I mean, if it wasn't that, I mean, is she more factually innocent. I mean, in factually innocent, I'll make sure I'm saying this right, is there just wasn't enough evidence to prove that she did it. You could be, you can be likely there, but so
the first witness that went on TMZ, he said that he thought that she was factually innocent, meaning that she didn't hit him. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, and he said that there was kind of an array of people, that there were people that thought that it was a reasonable doubt. You mm-hmm. know, a lot of them, like you said, ultimately looked back at the failed investigation in this case.
Yeah.
And if we care about due process in this country, you cannot allow people to get convicted on police investigations like that. It's a terrifying prospect, because essentially what you would be convicting her on is Hank Brennan's story, you know, and taking these clips that he took out of context where she's describing what she said a year ago, and he's making it sound like she said it a year later, which was just a fucking lie. Like, Hank just was doing things and saying things that smacked of desperation. Him holding up that shirt when he's got Lally and McLaughlin sitting at that fucking table, and they know for damn sure that there were no holes in the back of that shirt that had anything to do with what went on the 29th of January. And they sat there and allowed Hank to do that. It should scare people. Like, forget about the case in and of itself.
Sure.
Forget about Karen Reed.
Yeah.
Think about if that's how we want prosecutors in this country pulling shit
sure.
in terms of trying to, you know, it's like, look, this was never about the search for the truth. This was about them trying to get a win. It's always been that. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the reality is that people that believe that Karen Reed is guilty of this and they weren't convinced by the science, you know what? You can thank your local Canton Police Department. You can thank the Massachusetts State Police for the shit that they pulled, because that's who's to blame. If there was real evidence, I mean, how do they not take a fucking picture of a taillight when they're saying that the woman hit the guy at any point during the day?
Yeah. No, I agree.
How do they do that, Tony?
How do they F that up so badly? I don't know.
I could turn that around and make the same accusations. Well, it's because the taillight wasn't fucked up like that.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's a pretty simple
answer, dude. Yeah. And like, you can't say that it was or it wasn't. I found Barrows to be a very credible guy. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit if Hank was able to trip him up on what he testified to in the first thing. I found that he was a credible witness. Like, he was from Dighton. He had no connection with Canton or the MSP.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is that guy coming in lying? Like he's a clout grabber. Fuck out of here, man. Like, I'm just like that stuff. It was dirty pool. And you know, it's like, to me, this thing boiled down to, you've got the medical examiner who I have never in any case ever seen a prosecutor move forward on a case where their own medical examiner is refusing to call it a homicide, and they move forward on a homicide case. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I challenge you. Like, when we get off, use AI. Tell me if you could ever find a case anywhere where the medical examiner has come back with not determining that it's a homicide, and a prosecutor, and anywhere in the country.
I have no idea.
But when you've got your own typically your most important witness in terms of establishing that incredibly important cause of death portion element of the mm-hmm. statute. And she's like, there's not enough information. Mm-hmm. I can't say it's homicide. I mean, Scotty Bellow was as credible as you get. You can't, mm-hmm. like, there's nothing to attack her about. I mean, she's a government employee paid by the state. She came in and she said what she said. And then, you know, you could take Russell forever you want to take her, but La Posada was fucking unbelievable. Hank had hired her mm-hmm. in his own practice. That's why he was treating her with kid gloves. He wasn't going at La Posada like he was Wolf and Rentschler. You know, with the hired gun thing, I mean, he knew. I mean, he's wanted to use her. He's paid her before. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Hank knew that she was credible. And, you know, and Hank made the mistake after he got the ruling where Canone wasn't going to allow her to testify about the wounds in terms of being from a dog or an animal. And Hank went a bridge too far, and he opened the door, and then she allowed her to say, yeah, you know, I think the injuries are from an animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got that. And then you end with Rensselaer, who just manhandled Brennan. Like, Hank's problem is that Aperture didn't do any actual scientific testing and gave him nothing to rebut what Rentschler was saying. You know what I mean? I, like, to me, those last two witnesses, it's like, you know, the science has to win here. You know, because it's like, even today, people are like telling me, it's like, oh, yeah, you're like the slip and fall guy. I'm like, dude, I'm not the slip and fall guy. I'm talking about when you're trying to establish reasonable doubt in a case, you're throwing out any kind of possibility that might have happened to John O'Keefe. I'm not dying on a slip and fall hill. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. Is it possible something went down to the house? Yeah, it's possible, because they did a lot of weird shit that's really, really hard to explain. Yeah. You know? But and I the think fact that's of the what, matter is, they did no investigation into those people to clear them.
Yeah.
So, you know, the same way that people are always going to think that Karen Reed is guilty, people are going to think that something happened to John O'Keefe in that house.
Sure.
It's the same thing. And you know who's to blame for that?
The police. Again, yeah.
The police.
Yep. It's at the end of the day, that's what has caused all of this.
Yep.
If it had been done properly, done. Yeah, I know. I agree with that. I agree. In my estimation, I think that it was an accident, and I think she hit him. But I think the data shows that. But I completely see where there's reasonable doubt, and where one would have to say it wasn't beyond a reasonable doubt. And yeah, that's
yeah. I mean,
that's where I think, like, it lands. I get where they came from.
At face value, and you have faith in the jury, you know, I mean, they sat in there for,
there was too much 30 weirdness.
Days.
Yeah. There was just too much weirdness on the prosecution side, on the police side, on all that, there's a gazillion things that are weird in there. Never connected enough for me to believe it's this giant conspiracy, and maybe it's not a giant conspiracy. Maybe it's much smaller than we think. And not that, I still don't buy that he was beat up in the house, but I don't know how else he got there. That's where I think it was an accident, and that's what happened. That's where I get what you've always been in the past, not believing that he got beat up in the house. Are you still there?
It's not that I don't believe that he got beat up in the house. It's just, there's not enough evidence of it. Like the way that I look at it is, say, for instance, they're like, okay, all things being equal, when they pretend like Karen hadn't been arrested initially, because they're like, man, we just don't have much evidence here, right? Like we see what evidence they have. We've seen it in two trials. It's not much evidence, and they really can't prove it. You find the phone thing to be compelling. I don't find that timeline to be all that compelling. I just don't.
Sure.
So, you know, say, for instance, they decide, okay, and they have the same investigation, but then they find out that the feds have done their investigation. They start getting the text messages. They start seeing all the strange things, and they decide to arrest Jen McCabe or Brian Albert or Brian Higgins, any of them. You're ending up in that case, in my estimation, with the amount of evidence they have right now, which is circumstantial. Mm-hmm. You're ending up with the same result if they don't get more evidence, because there's just not enough there to convict anybody on that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's there is no denying that the shit that happened with these people is bizarre.
Yeah.
That it's like, and we've talked about, like, there could be a million reasons that they don't want them to see their text messages, and that Higgins going on to an Air Force base. And maybe it's not. You know what I mean?
I agree, because some of those the suspicious behaviors, maybe it's to do with this, maybe it's not, maybe it's to do with some other thing. There's obviously a lot of other cases that these people are involved with, and we know from the Sandra Birchmore world, which is not all that far out of this orbit. In fact, it's part of the orbit. How shady that can get. So I would not be surprised if it was other things that they knew that, okay, they're going to check our devices. They may have nothing about Karen Reed on that device, but it may be other things from other cases that could have been there too. I don't know. I have no idea.
That I look at it, like, this is what my perspective is on it. And it's simple. One, in my estimation, the science proved to me personally that Karen Reed is factually innocent, that she did not strike him with the vehicle. That's just, I'm relying on the most reliable thing in this case that we have, and that was the science. Everything else is speculation. That, to me, is the end-all, be-all. The next thing, that means that Proctor or somebody else had to have planted the taillight shit. And there's no way around that for me.
Like all of the taillight or just a few pieces of it? I'm just trying to understand.
I'm assuming like all of it. Like how would any of it be there if she didn't hit him there? Like I'm firm on that she didn't hit him with the car. She just didn't. Like it didn't happen that way. Like I get the people that like if Karen Reed isn't like on these interviews saying shit, like where's sure. your case if you're the Commonwealth? Well, I mean, you're leaning so heavily because you can't have it both ways. Oh, she's nine drinks in. Well, if she's blackout drunk, she doesn't remember shit, dude.
Right? Brownout so drunk.
How can you if she doesn't remember shit, then how the fuck would she know if she hit him? How can you give
because
I hit him, even if she did hit him?
On that specifically, it would be like a brownout drunk where you kind of got some memories, but it ain't you're not completely out. It's yeah, like you can get reminded. Oh, and it's still not very clear.
Nah,
how did she know right to go? How did she know to go right to that spot?
What like that yard. That argument is so fucking bizarre to me.
Well, how like, did
because
she?
Because that's
my
question.
That's
where she dropped him off.
But she saw him go in the house. So why would she be going back there?
What do you mean? Like that was the last place he got dropped off. She wasn't driving. Like I mean,
no,
you're assuming that I have to believe either Jen McCabe or Carrie. I mean, one of the two of them was driving the vehicle when they were searching for John in the morning, right? And Karen's in the back seat.
Okay.
So, like, when they pull up, and I don't know if you ever watched Microdots, but in terms of where John is in that yard, and it's unfortunate because, again, we really have never seen any kind of mapping of this debris field Hank Brennan talks about because they didn't do that in their investigation. So when you're looking at this flagpole and where it is in conjunction with, you know, the road and the proxy and where the headlights were hitting, if she's looking towards the house for any reason, she's going to see John O'Keefe. Like I've just never understood people like, well, how did she know exactly where he was? It's like, if you're looking for somebody intently or something intently, and that's all you're looking for, and you're driving 5 miles an hour past the place that he was last known to have been, I don't get how people are thinking that.
Well,
that's
let me try and explain that on that because if she's yes, it's where she dropped him off, but she says she saw him go in the house. So why would you be looking in the yard?
I mean,
and why would you not be thinking? Well, maybe he's just sleeping on somebody's couch and his phone is
what's
off.
What's to say? Like, dude, you're acting like this is some sprawling estate.
No.
What do you mean? Like, if she's looking at the house, if they're driving by the house, you're going to be just surveying the house. And even peripherally, you're going to, like, that's what I'm saying. This is a small front yard.
But
dude.
He was covered
you're
in
snow.
You're
staring at the front. Huh?
He was covered in snow.
There wasn't, what are you talking about?
The body
was like,
covered
like an inch at that point, an inch and a half. Well, I think that the weatherman said there was enough to track a cat. What do you mean covered in snow? It wasn't like you think that he was just a big white mound?
That's how I've always.
No, dude, like go back and listen to the testimony. Their weatherman said at that point in time, like the how much snow there is super easy to vet.
I believe
look
that.
Look at weather data. It was like at whatever time in the morning that is 5:30, mm-hmm. whenever they discover him. I mean, it was like a dusting. It was like the storm hadn't like hit fully, so like there wasn't like inches and inches of snow. I mean,
from what I've seen,
it was anywhere between 1 and 2.5. Like all I know is that their weatherman said that it's enough to track a cat. You know that it's which. Is a really, really great way to describe how much snow there is because if there's obviously if the snow's deep,
I don't know what that even means because you could be tracking a
Think
cat
about
in fairly thick
it.
Snow or low snow.
If it's deep snow, you're not finding cat tracks.
Okay, I hear what you're saying there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to disagree on the interpretation of that too, but it's fine. But so
well, you're assuming that what Carrie and Jen are testifying to is true.
And I think that's where,
which I have a problem with that.
Okay. So that's where the basic belief goes different and is off. And that's why you went one way and you're seeing it that way. And I'm in this way and I'm seeing it that way. That's why it's so vastly different. So I get
that. Yeah. But the problem, like, how are you reconciling the fact that that woman lied about who she talked to the feds? Like, I mean, she's just like not an honest person.
The sister or the,
no, Jen McKay.
She lied about
who she talked to. And then her husband has to say, you know what? You should probably be truthful to him about who you spoke to. They're going to get phone records, lady. You know? So it's like, I don't know.
Again, weird. Again, shit, weird.
Well, you're calling it weird. I call it suspicious. It's shit.
Well, same thing. I mean, weird, suspicious. I'm not trying to downplay that.
How she saw him is so bizarre to me. I'm like,
there's so much
because they were driving slowly and the tail and the headlights were shining on the front yard and she was looking in that direction.
I just think it's weird as shit. I'm not doubting any of that. I'm not saying it's not. To me, the science, the data that shows the backup, Karen's own words do mean a lot in my mind of what, and I'm not talking about in the car that morning. I'm talking about everything that she has said in those interviews after. There was a lot of context to some of those because some of the pieces were literally, they were extended. They were not just what was in the docs.
Yeah, I don't understand what you're saying. Still, the point of the clips is that they're taken out of context because they're just, he played them like clips from a movie, like some during were, the middle for some were, effect. But
some were again, longer.
I just have a very different view of what constitutes a confession. And that ain't it.
I wouldn't say it's a confession, but
I'm saying
it's consciousness of guilt.
I disagree completely. Like, I mean, have you ever been in a situation wherein that's even remotely close to that? Like traumatically speaking,
like to Karen Reed's, like what happened?
Like anything where you've discovered a loved one of yours dead.
No, like, I've never.
On a Friday. How are you able to sit there and pretend like you know how you'd respond to that if in fact, like say for instance, like you dropped your loved one off at a place and like all like the next morning they're dead. I mean, do you think that honestly that you wouldn't be like, and you had no recollection of it because you'd been tipping a few back and you have no clear memory of it? You don't think you'd be trying to work that through like in your brain? Well, and probably in a trauma situation, just be like talking out loud in a panic. I think it's weird that people think that's so fucking unusual.
No, I'm saying right at the beginning. Yeah, I completely agree. I'm saying,
but that's what I'm saying. It's not years after. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When Hank Brennan said, she said it a year after that interview, which took place a year after, was her talking about that morning. Not in the way that he played it. Jackson argued it too, because it was bullshit. He tried to make it sound like she's talking about it. She's saying it a year later. No, that clip was talking about her explaining to the interviewer why she was saying what she was saying on the 29th.
Which
the
clip morning. Are we talking about specifically?
I'm assuming the one that you consider probably to be the most damning. Like what, to the me, liquor? They're all fucking hot garbage, dude. Like you cannot convict people in this country on that kind of bullshit.
There's so many damn clips.
Some actual evidence, dude.
There's literally.
Where's your actual evidence? Convince me. Like I love being able to talk to you because like everybody else is afraid to talk and they just start calling names.
Yeah.
Like I'm up for the debate. Convince me because the phone data ain't it, dude.
Well, like, for me, like, it
I don't
was.
Know how
for
she's
me, it was
back to 236. Like if she where's. Are we forgetting? And they didn't put Higgins on, but you remember that Brian Higgins said that he was parked by the mailbox in trial one, right?
I believe you. Off the top of my head, I don't
go
but
back
I believe
and
you.
Check it out.
Okay, I have no reason not to believe.
So how was she plowing backwards at 24 miles an hour and pull up your map of the property there? How's she going back at 24 miles an hour and not hitting Brian Higgins' Jeep, dude?
Well, how is the vehicle data showing it?
How is the vehicle data showing what? I have no idea. They decided for whatever reason not to get into the key cycles in this trial at all, neither side.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the defense didn't get into it because Brennan didn't get into it. That was a big part of trial one. Uh-huh. Like there's been a lot of argument that the key cycle that he's talking about is when they were picking up Karen's vehicle, mm-hmm. when the car was in police custody, which if you'll remember, when they're putting the Lexus on the tow truck, mm-hmm. they back up and he reverses and then gets it and pulls it up on the flatbed tow truck.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, man. Like again, like it would have been nice if the cops would have taken pictures mm-hmm. of the taillight at any point during the day, whether it's Buchanan, whether it's Proctor, yeah. whether it's anybody who's that's not a fucking Barros. Barros was called like from another department to assist because they're calling a tow in. Like he's not investigating shit. Like Hank Brennan asking Barros why he didn't take a pic because it's not his fucking job, bro. Like yeah, he's not the investigating cop. Like how is Buchanan, like none of these people take any pic. It's like you bought into a story that has no actual evidence to it. Like that's the thing. Like the defense actually proved something to me, and that is that John O'Keefe's injuries are not in any way, shape, or form indicative of the fact that he was struck by a motor vehicle. That's science. Like, and you had Rentschler actually giving you actual science, actual physics, you know? And it's like, no matter what Hank tried to do, he just couldn't dissuade what his opinion was on that because he used science to get there. Like Welcher didn't use any actual science. The closest he came to science was the one Meadows video, except he didn't do what he needed to do, which was actually use the Lexus that they bought mm-hmm. and bump it into the actual Traverse. And let's prove that the taillight's not going to crack. He chose not to do that. Why? I don't know. Instead, he shows that weird picture trying to claim like the taillight couldn't touch the Traverse. I didn't take that from that picture because the picture looked weird and distorted and the taillight pops out on that car.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing with me, it all lives in the science in terms of whether or not like in my job as a lawyer, when I'm defending a client is if I believe that they're innocent or if I don't is to go in and argue the facts. And in this case, I happen to believe with my whole heart that she didn't hit him. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with what she said, because anything that she said or thought didn't matter until the point where they started getting the discovery in. That's when you start to learn and piece together what may or may not have happened that night. She doesn't know anything until David Yannetti starts getting the discovery in. He says, come on in, let's take a look at what they have. And then they start looking at it and he starts seeing this weird shit. And he's like, well, something's strange here, and I don't know what it is, but it seems off. And, you know, so then they start piecing it together. And at some point during their own investigation, which every defense attorney has an ethical obligation to do, they come to the realization that she didn't do it based on science, not on anything else. Now, as a general proposition, it's nice as a defense attorney because we have the weight of the world on our shoulders and we have the power of the state against us. It's always a David and Goliath situation. It's nice to be able to point your finger for the jury and say, take a look at them. Take a look at them, which is exactly what they did. Now, on this trial, they didn't really do it. They leaned on the science completely. Like, so the argument that it was a third party culprit win is just like that no one can make it anymore. Because this case wasn't that case. They relied on the science almost exclusively. They didn't even call Proctor. They didn't call mm-hmm. Higgins. They didn't call any of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, the reality of that situation is that, I mean, these jurors went in, they looked at the evidence that was presented by both sides. They heard the clips. They heard what Welcher said. They heard Whiffen's timeline. They heard Burgess's timeline. And they were never finder or guilty on either the murder two or the manslaughter. The whole fight was over whether or not to find her guilty of the OUI. That was it. I mean, in terms of how this case has to be looked at, it has to be looked at the way that we have to look at all cases. And that's all right. The jury went back. They deliberated. It took until Wednesday afternoon. They did their job and they came back with their verdict. And it was not guilty on murder and manslaughter. You know, it's like the rest of it, it doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't. It just, it's yeah. like I trust in juries and when I don't, you know, I look to the appeals and the appeals process, and you don't appeal not guilties. The prosecution doesn't get to do that. They had their shot.
Yeah.
They took a shot and they lost.
What do you think is in store now when we get to the civil area of this? Because obviously that's coming up next.
I'm thinking long and hard if I'm the whoever's suing Karen as to whether or not they move forward with that case. Because I think the one, and we've talked about this in regard to other cases a lot.
Yeah.
The discovery process in civil cases is a whole different beast.
Yeah.
It's a whole different beast. And if they're going to be sitting there accusing her after she's beaten it in the criminal trial, and we saw it with OJ, it's a lower burden. It's a much lower burden,
yeah.
You know, it's in civil, you know, and in that case, you had some actual evidence, you know, you had blood in the Bronco, you had blood in the house, you had the bloody glove behind, like there was a lot of evidence against OJ. In this case, we know what the evidence is going to be, but the discovery process mm-hmm. in terms of what Karen's going to be able to, her lawyers are going to be able to discover. And if you think that she's going to go down without a fight, people are dreaming, you know, I mean, it's like, she's not, she's going to fight it. And that means depositions.
Yeah.
That means they're going to be able to try to unearth a lot of shit. So, I mean, yeah. I'll be curious to see how it goes. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think anybody like it. I'll be shocked, frankly, if it moves forward.
Really?
Yeah. I do. Like, I'm not listening to the 100 people on Twitter, dude.
Are you
serious?
I'm wondering, because, I mean, there's a discovery process, and obviously there is, with something like this. If someone, anyone, Karen, whoever's placing the lawsuit, has anything to hide, that would not be a good thing if you want to go deep into discovery on a case like this.
Yeah, well, I mean, which case? Like, there's currently a civil case now, I think, that the O'Keefes have filed against Karen. I thought that's the one you were talking about. Now, whether or not Karen's going to turn around and try to file, I don't know how the OUI affects that. Mm-hmm. So she was convicted of something. In my estimation, it didn't have anything to do. Like, that's a standalone OUI, meaning mm-hmm. that it didn't fall, even though it was a lesser included of the manslaughter. It wasn't part and parcel of the manslaughter, because obviously they found that there was no contact with John O'Keefe by her vehicle. That's how they found her not guilty on the murder two and the manslaughter. So mm-hmm. the standalone was stuck in the only place it could have been stuck. For whatever reason, for a year and a half, I thought that the third count was OUI leaving the scene, resulting in death, but mm-hmm. it wasn't. It was just straight up leaving the scene.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering, I'm like, why didn't they attach that standalone OUI to the lesser of the three charges, meaning that leaving the scene? But I came to find out yesterday when I finally saw one of the indictments again that it was just a straight up leaving the scene. Causing a death.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, to me, I don't know how that OUI is going to affect her ability to be able to sue. If she's going to turn around and try to sue the government, mm-hmm. you know, for malicious prosecution and various other things. So
yeah.
I don't know how that'll play out, but I know that there is a pending suit, I think, with the O'Keefes.
There, yeah.
I'm
just wondering if there would be any suits, you know, from, you know, McCabe's, anything like that, civilly, for what was, you know.
they better think long and hard.
That's what I'm saying. Honestly, it's like, I'd welcome it. Like, let's see what else there is, if there's anything.
Yeah.
Maybe that could answer some of these weird questions about so much of the weird behavior that took place.
Well, I mean, if you think of it like that, I mean, you're going to be able to get Brian Albert under oath on a deposition mm-hmm. and ask him a whole bunch of fucking questions.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to do the same thing with Higgins. And it's different than when you're sitting in the courtroom.
Yeah, very. Yeah.
No, it's a deposition. You can get into all kinds of stuff. It's civil. So you don't have the protections that you have, mm-hmm. the constitutional protections that you have as a criminal defendant. It's really a much more open investigation in terms of civil litigation.
Sure.
So
yeah.
And I'm sure that if they're of the mindset that, hey, yeah, we want to go sue people for defamation or whatever, that any lawyer that they go talk to is going to warn them of that fact that, all right, you know, but the defense to that is truth. And they're going to try to defend the case.
Yeah.
And they're going to be digging and they're going to be asking a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And it's going to be more than was asked at any point during the criminal trials.
Yeah.
They're going to really, really be digging, you know. So, and you can ask production requests. You know, they're going to be able to ask for phone records and everything else that's in conjunction with that night, man. And it's like,
and if you're in conjunction with that night, you gotta, you better be sure that you want that digging going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll
it's see a curious it question. Out, yeah, it really is. Yeah. All right. Well, let's never talk about Karen Reed again. Ever. We're done.
Yeah. We're done. We're done.
Bob,
we're done.
It's great to have you back on, and I look forward to talking about other cases.
Indeed, brother. Indeed. It's great to see you, man. I always love the convos.
I love you, bud. I love you, bro.
Love you too, man.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time.
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle.
With Ultra Titanium Alloy Metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle.
With Ultra Titanium Alloy Metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold.
Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle.
With Ultra Titanium Alloy Metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold.
Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase